بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 12th session dealing with the topic of al-iman or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the book of al-allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah, entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li'i'tiqad al-Ta'if al-Najih al-Mansura. The last few weeks we have been dealing with one aspect of Tawheed, that is Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, and the Shaykh rahimahullah has been mentioning a number of points, some of them which are very important principles that one should know related to understanding the meanings and application of the use of the names of Allah, the Asma' of Allah al-Husna, and his sifat and his characteristics or descriptions of perfection. Tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we would like to go on to question 65 and question 66. But before doing so, we would like to quickly, as we normally do, review what we covered in the last session. Related to questions 63 and 64. Before we ask someone to help us with a summary answer to those questions, I want to remind myself first and each of us that our purpose is not just to collect the information, but to understand how to apply it. So as we go through these questions, one should be reflecting upon the means through which we can apply this knowledge so that we actually use it and benefit from it. So whoever was not here last week, inshallah, please try to pay attention to the answers that are given to the questions from last week so that you will not lose out on whatever benefit there was. Question number 63, are asma, yani names of Allah, derived or extracted from every one of the sifat al-af'al, characteristics of his actions? Or are the asma of Allah, the names of Allah, all tawqifiyya, that which requires a proof from the Qur'an and Sunnah? The question, can we extract or derive names of Allah from every description of his action, from every sifa, from the sifat of af'al? Can we extract or derive a name from every characteristic or description of Allah's actions? Or are all of Allah's names tawqifiyya? This is the question. All of his names are tawqifiyya. Jayyid, jayyid. So we're saying that we cannot derive names of Allah from the sifat, the characteristics of Allah's actions, or the descriptions of Allah's actions, but rather they're tawqifiyya. Okay, so what do we mean by tawqifiyya? What exactly does this word tawqifiyya mean? That is revelation. Naam, that is revelation. From the Qur'an and Sunnah. And it's revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find in the Qur'an, or we find in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Tayyib. What can we add to this? Naam. Naam. Some names are applied mutlaqan, okay, in the absolute unrestricted way. Naam. Naam. Like Allah, He says that He is Al-Razaq, or he's Al-Khaliq, na'am. But in the form of action, in the form of action, that Allah, He describes it as an action. Razaqakum, wa khalaqakum, na'am. So from this action of Allah describing Himself as providing or creating, we can derive a name. Okay? Other descriptions of Allah's actions are used within a certain context, in a restricted context, and they can only be applied in that way. Anything else somebody wants to add? Anything else? Okay, so the Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has described Himself with, He has described some of His actions in an absolute, unrestricted form. And in other places, He has described His actions in a restricted, limited context. And those descriptions of Allah's actions that are in a limited context, in a restricted form, can only be applied to Allah in that restricted form that He has applied it with. For example, somebody give me an example. Now, Salih. Huh? Okay, makaru wa makaru Allah, wallahu khairu makirin. Naam. Meaning? Okay, they make a plot to do something evil, to commit a crime, to commit a sin, to do some corruption, and Allah foils their plot. Allah makes a plan that diffuses it, that cancels it, that invalidates it. Now, so Allah describes Himself in this description as with the description of makr. But only in this limited sense can it be applied to Allah. So we cannot say in general that Allah plots and plans in general. Nor can we say that Allah is a plotter or a planner as a name for Allah. But rather in the context of His responding, ala sabil al-jaza wal-muqabala, that Allah is rewarding them. He is giving them back some compensation for their evil. He is returning it to them. He is meeting their plan with a better plan, with a plan that will foil their plan. So in this limited sense, we can say, we can describe Allah with this action of makr. But in the limited sense of responding to those people who are doing something like this, then Allah responds to them like, naam. But outside of that, we don't use it in the general, unrestricted, absolute sense. Okay, so the Shaykh, he gave some other examples about deceiving. They seek to deceive Allah. Allah deceives them. They forget Allah. So Allah forgot them. Okay, in response to their action, then Allah yani, responds to them in a way to yani, nullify or negate or return to them yani, that which they deserve for whatever it is that they have done. Now, okay, so this is one thing. The names of Allah are tawqifiyah. We can't just take any description of Allah's actions and say we make a name for Allah from these things. Okay? We can't do this. We should only name Allah with that which He has named Himself with, or that which the Prophet ﷺ has named Him with in the authentic Sunnah. Any question about this matter? Tayyib. Second question. What is implied by His name Al-A'la, the Most High? And other names of similar meaning, such as Al-Zahir, the High, Al-Qahir, the Irresistible or Supreme, Al-Muta'ali, the Most High. Yani, what is implied by this name? Al-A'la. When we say what is implied by it, we mean Tadammun. Yani, what is included within it? What does it imply? Yani, when you see this name, what is the thing that you can understand from it. Now. Al-Ulu. Okay, Al-Ulu. From this name, Al-A'la, and similar names, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'ali, Zahir, Qahir, names like this, we can understand that from Allah's descriptions, from His sifat, is the sifa of Al-Ulu. Yani the name Al-A'la Within it, we can derive a characteristic of Allah, a description of Allah, a quality that is derived directly, extracted from that name. From Al-A'la, we find the sifa of what? Al-Ulu. That means highness, being lofty, sublime. Okay, so we know that this is one of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By tadammun, yani by examining the name, we can see that within it, included within it, implied by it, is this characteristic, the sifa of Al-Ulu, from the name Al-Ali or Al-A'la. And other names of similar meaning, the Shaykh mentioned, Al-Zahir, which the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Zahir means something that is clear, that is manifest. But the Prophet ﷺ said that, he said in dua to Allah, that anta al-zahir, wa laysa fawqaka shay, and there is nothing above you. So that means that al-zahir means the one that there is nothing above him. So we understand from this also the same meaning that we understand from al-a'la and al-qahir similarly. Okay, so there are some names that if a person understands their meaning, we can see that by implication, included within that name is a characteristic that can be applied to Allah. And in this case, the Shaykh is talking about one characteristic specifically, and that is the characteristic of Al-Ulu. And he said that this sifa of Al-Ulu is implied by this name Al-A'la or Al-Ali and other similar names, with all of the meanings of Al-Ulu. And some scholars said the meanings of Ulu are two, and some scholars said three. And the Shaykh, he said three meanings of Al-Ulu. So somebody give me one of them. One of the meanings of Al-Ulu.
Above everything.
Naam? Tayyib, above everything. Yani, fawqiyatihi. Naam. He said, Ulu fawqiyatihi. Yani, the highness of Allah being above everything. Naam. And this really is Ulu al-Dhat. Ulu al-Dhat. Al-Dhat means Allah's divine being, His person. The highness of Allah's divine being. That He Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is high above everything. Not metaphorically, physically. Not metaphorically, but rather in reality. Haqiqatan. He is bidhatihi Ali. Now.
Ba'in.
Okay, this is part of the meaning of what the Shaykh said in reference to his fawqiyya, yani ulu dhati, that he is above his creatures, above his throne, ba'in minhum, yani completely distinct and separate from the creation. Completely distinct and separate. As we will talk about today a little more, that he is not within the creation, he is not part of the creation, he is not surrounded by the creation. Rather, he is above and separate and distinct. The khaliq is completely different, distinct and separate from the makhluq. The khaliq, the creator, is different than the creation. Naam. Second type of ulu. Naam, Abdul Wakil. Allah is supreme and dominant. Ulu qahr. Ulu al-qahr. Ulu qahrihi. That he is supreme, that he is dominant. That he has power and authority over everything. Everything is subjected to him. Everything is humble to him. Everything is under his authority, under his disposal, to do with as he wills. Ulu al-Qahr. And this meaning of Qahr came from one of the names that the Shaykh mentioned here. Which name is what? Al-Qahir. From the names of Allah is Al-Qahir and Al-Qahar. Naam. And the third type of ulu. Third type of ulu. Naam, Abu Bakr. Ulu sha'nihi. Ulu sha'nihi. Some of the scholars said, ulu sha'nihi. Ulu al-manzila. Al-manzila. Or al-makana. And some scholars said, which is even more clear, ulu as-sifat. Sifatihi. Sha'nihi wa sifatihi. Meaning, his characteristics or descriptions, his status, his rank, his position is very high because of his characteristics of perfection. So his status, his rank is high above everything and everyone. ulu sha'nihi. Naam. Because he is described with every characteristic of perfection. And we negate from him any characteristic of imperfection, any type of defect or shortcoming, or suggestion of evil. All of this is negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to the highness of his position, his rank, his station, naam, sha'nihi, wa manzilatihi, wa makanatihi, naam. So we said then, the Shaykh said in the question last week, he said that these three types of ulu, highness of Allah, that Allah is high by His that, His being, His divine being is high above everything. He is distinct from and high above, overlooking everything in His creation. And He is also high in His sifat, His characteristics, His rank, His station, His status, His sha'n. He is high above everything, His status, His position. And He is also high above everything in dominance over everything. Al-Qahr. That He is supreme. That He has control and full disposal over everything. So He is high in this way also. And the last question is an extra question, is not from the book. But we're going to go back to the discussion of the matters that show the importance of seeking knowledge of Asma, of Allah and His Sifat. Mention three matters that show the importance of seeking knowledge of the Asma of Allah and His Sifat. Okay, we'll take one from anybody. Naam. And these are the matters, or these are some of the matters that show the importance of this subject that we are studying and why we should give care to it. And we should give attention to it. And we should sacrifice some time for it to learn it well and to understand it and strive and ask Allah's help to apply it in our lives. Naam. Ahmed.
The more knowledge he has of Allah, that's known as a fact, the more, the higher his iman will be. It will be in accordance to the knowledge he has of Allah.
And a person's level of iman, strength of their iman, will be in accordance with the person's knowledge of Allah, knowledge of his asma wa sifat. Okay, this one. And the Shaykh, he mentioned the ayat related to this from the Quran that proves this point. That the more the knowledge of the person has of Allah and his asma wa sifat, the more he will be increased in khashya of Allah, fear of Allah, consciousness of Allah, and iman, and yaqeen. Now, what's the ayat? Somebody know the ayat? Now. What is it? 48:6. Is it Surah 48? Fatih? Huh? Fatih? Tayyib. What is the ayat? He said it's 48:6. He has it written there. Well, who knows the ayat? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That verily those who have khashya of Allah are the ulama, the people who have ilm, who have knowledge of Allah. So it's yani, relative to the person's knowledge of Allah and Allah's names and characteristics and qualities and descriptions, the more a person knows of that, then they will have real khashya of Allah. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said that this ayat means this, that the more the person has knowledge of Allah's asma and sifat, the more they have knowledge of Allah, the more they will have fear of Allah. And the Shaykh also mentioned a saying from one of the Salaf where he summarizes meaning in just a couple of words. Now.
Did you say in the last class that the more that someone remembers Allah, the more that Allah will remember him?
Did we say that in the last class? I don't know, but no doubt, remembering Allah, you know, Allah does say...
Well, the way you put Allah, like how you put Allah in your life, how Allah...
Naam. The station that you give to Allah, the importance that you give to Allah, giving Him His proper due, then likewise will be your position in front of Allah. Yeah, the sister sent us the reference for this ayat, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Surah Fatir, 35, 35th Surah, 28th ayat. Okay, let's another one, another point from the matters that show the importance of Asma wa Sifat. Now,
one of the pillars of iman, the foundation of the pillars of iman is iman in Allah.
Now,
the foundation of
everything, the most important thing that we can study.
Now, from the pillars of Iman, rather, the most important of them, the foundation of them, the root of all the pillars of Iman, is Iman in Allah. Now, therefore, having Iman in Allah is not, the Shaykh said, just saying, I believe in Allah. But rather, having Iman in Allah, real, true Iman, haqiqat al-Iman, is what? That a person knows Allah, the one who you say you believe in, and strives to become acquainted with and learn His names and characteristics. So that when you know Him, then this will be the cause of your increase of yaqeen, until you reach the level of high level of yaqeen, of certainty. And this will increase a person's iman, and it will increase a person's trust in Allah and dependence upon Allah and so on. So that knowing Allah helps the person to realize the true meaning of having iman in Allah. How can you have iman in Allah and you don't know Allah? How can you have iman in Allah and you don't know Allah? You have to know Allah. You have to strive to know Allah. This is what will increase your level of certainty and your iman and your trust in Allah and so on. Now.
And knowledge is based on the excellence of the topic.
And this is the first point that the Shaykh mentioned. That knowledge, the excellence of a knowledge or the superiority of a knowledge, of any knowledge, is based on its topic. What is its subject? Now. And the subject of this knowledge of Asma wa Sifat, the subject is Allah Himself. Naam. So there is no knowledge that's more important, or that's more noble, or that's on a higher level than the knowledge that acquaints you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And these are some of the reasons that the Shaykh mentioned showing the importance of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And for these reasons and other reasons, we should take this subject seriously. This is what we mentioned last week.
Can I ask one question?
Now, we normally only take questions at the end, but we'll take one from you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Aside from the knowledge that the knowledge of Allah's name that will give you yaqeen.
Now,
what other knowledge is there that will help you to also get?
Besides Allah's names,
yeah.
The knowledge of what Allah has legislated. Knowledge of Allah's laws. Yani, whatever came in the Quran and Sunnah, the knowledge of the deen is the most important thing. But looking at the creation, this helps a person. This increases a person in iman. You know, knowledge of Allah's creation, how He has created things, the beauty and the excellence and the superiority of what He has created, and the system that He set in motion in the universe. All of this also is a means of increasing a person's iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their certainty. And worshipping Allah, calling upon Allah, knowing that when you call upon Allah, He will answer you. Worshipping Allah increases a person in iman, increases a person's iman and certainty also. Being obedient to Allah. Naam. Okay, last point that the Shaykh mentions concerning the matters through which we know the importance of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. The Shaykh mentioned 5 points, and the fifth point we mentioned tonight. Number five, he says, أَنَّ الْعِلْمُ بِهِ تَعَالَى أَصْلُ الْأَشْيَاءِ كُلِّهَا. That having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foundation of all things. Having knowledge of Allah is the foundation of everything. حَتَّى إِنَّ الْعَارِفَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ يَسْتَدِلُّ بِمَا عَرَفَ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُهُ وَعَلَى مَا يَشْرَعُهُ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ. Yani, to the extent that the person who is acquainted with Allah, with true acquaintance, real knowledge of Allah, the person who has this real knowledge of Allah, يَسْتَدِلُّ بِمَا عَرِفَ, he will be able to seek guidance and direction from what he knows of Allah's names and characteristics. He will be able to use that as a dalil or a guide to him to know about what Allah does, His actions, and what Allah legislates of laws. He will know about Allah's legislation. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything. He doesn't do any action except that which is necessitated, required or rooted in His asma wa sifat. Whatever Allah does, it is rooted in and necessitated by His beautiful names and His lofty, perfect characteristics. And all of His actions center around Al-Adl wal-Fadl wal-Hikmah. All of Allah's actions center around, are based upon, are within the realm of Al-Adl, justice. Al-Fadl. Yani Allah's favor, giving His favor. And Al-Hikmah, and wisdom. Yani whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is within the realm of these matters. It's just, it's wise, and it's appropriate, proper in its place. Or it is from His favor, His bounty. And for this reason, Allah doesn't legislate any ahkam, laws, except in accordance with that which is dictated by that which will bring praise to Him. Or that which is dictated by His by hikmah, yani doing things properly, or fadlihi, or His favor or bounty. Or adlihi, or that which is yani based upon or rooted in His justice. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't legislate anything of legal rulings except that which is dictated by that which will bring praise to Him, or it is based upon wisdom, or His favor, or His justice. So the Shaykh, he says, فَأَخْبَارُهُ كُلُّهُ حَقٌ وَصِدْقٌ. Whatever Allah informs us of, it is haqq, and it is sidq. It is truth, and it is true. It is the truth, and it is true. Whatever Allah has informed us of. Wa awamiruhu, wa nawahihu, wa nawahihi. Yani all that He has commanded us, and all that He has prohibited us, all of it is just. And all of it is based upon wisdom. It is right and correct. And for this reason, the abd, the human being, if they would reflect upon the book of Allah and what Allah has revealed to His servants on the tongues of His messengers, including His names and His characteristics or qualities and His actions, whoever would reflect upon what Allah has revealed on the tongues of His messengers in His book, from His names and His characteristics and His actions, and what He has negated from Himself of that which is not proper or befitting to describe Him with. Whoever will reflect upon this, and whoever will reflect upon the history, and the actions of Allah in history, in the way that He deals with His awliya, the people who believe in Him and who obey Him, and His a'da, the people who are His enemies, who disbelieve in Him and disobey Him. If anyone will reflect upon the history and how Allah dealt with the people who believe in Him and the people who disbelieve in Him, from those stories which He has narrated, yani the events of history that He has narrated to His servants, and He caused us to bear witness to them, the person, through this reflection on these matters, would be able to come to the conclusion, it would lead them to the conclusion, أَنَّهُ إِلَاهُهُمْ الْحَقَّ الْمُبِينَ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their ilah, in truth, clearly, no doubt about it. Yani whoever reflects upon what Allah has revealed in the Quran from His asma and sifat and af'al, and whoever reflects upon the history of Allah's dealing with the awliya of Allah, the people who believe in Him and obey Him, and the people who disobey Him and disbelieve Him, His enemies, whoever will reflect upon this, it would be an indication to them to know that indeed He is the clear and the true ilah, the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and it is not proper to give worship to anyone other than Him. And they would also be able to take this as an indication, and it would point them to other facts. And from amongst them He said, and whoever reflects on what Allah has revealed in the Quran, whoever looks at the history, لَا يَسْتَدِلُّ بِهَا عَلَى أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. It will become clear to them that He is the one who has power over everything. وَأَنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And He is the one who has knowledge of everything. وَأَنَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ And that He is severe in punishing. And He is forgiving and merciful. And whoever doesn't know this, they need to read the Quran. And you have to know this. You have to know this. That Allah is shadeedul iqab. He is severe in punishing. Naam. So severe that a Muslim said to me, when he saw on the internet those criminals from ISIS burning a Muslim alive, he said, I can't believe that Allah can burn people in the hellfire forever. After seeing that. Of course he was confused. He was confused. Because it was a horrible sight, I imagine. I didn't see it. But from that, he forgot that Allah is shadeedul iqab. Naam. And Allah has the right to punish His servants however He wills. And Allah is just, perfectly just. And He will punish people with that which they deserve. But Allah is shadeedul iqab. Naam. For the disbelievers and the disobedient. And Allah is ghafoor raheem. Naam, Allah is forgiving, merciful. For those who believe in Him and strive to obey Him. And when they fall short, they ask His forgiveness and they turn to Him in repentance. Then Allah is ghafoor raheem. He is forgiving, merciful. And whoever reflects upon what Allah has revealed in the Quran about Himself, His asma and sifat, they will also come to know أَنَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ That He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah is Almighty and He is All-Wise. وَأَنَّهُ الْفَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ And He is the one who does whatever He wills. We have to know this, that Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. نعم. وَأَنَّهُ الَّذِي وَسَعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا And He is the one who has encompassed everything with His rahmah and His knowledge. And they will also come to know that all of Allah's actions are within the realm of al-hikmah and al-rahmah and al-adl and al-maslaha. Yani they come within the circle of what? Wisdom and mercy, rahmah and justice and maslaha and that which brings about benefit and they don't go outside of this. And they don't go outside of this. And finally the Shaykh says, فَإِذَا تَدَبَّرَ الْعَبْدُ ذَلِكَ So if the servant reflects upon this, okay, don't let it go in passing, but stop and think, contemplate, reflect upon this. فَإِذَا تَدَبَّرَ الْعَبْدُ ذَلِكَ أَوْرَثَهُ وَلَا رَيْبَ زِيَادَةً فِي الْيَقِينِ وَقُوَّةً فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَتَمَامًا فِي التَّوَقُّلِ That whoever reflects upon these matters that are revealed in the Qur'an and that a person will find in the history of Allah's dealings with the people in this earth, those who obeyed Him and those who disobeyed Him, if they reflect upon this, there is no doubt. If they reflect upon these names of Allah and His sifat and they come to know more about Allah, this will generate within them, and there is no doubt about it, an increase in their yaqeen, their certainty. And it will give them more strength in their iman. And the perfection or the completion of tawakkul, dependence and reliance upon Allah alone. Whoever wants to have an increase in yaqeen, they want to be more certain about this matter. And they want to strengthen their iman, and they want to complete and perfect their tawakkul, their trust and their reliance upon Allah, then they have to reflect upon what Allah has revealed in the Quran of His sifat and His asma and His af'al and how He has dealt with the people in history, the awliya of Allah and the a'da of Allah, the enemies of Allah. And this is the last point that the Shaykh mentioned concerning this. And there are some comments that perhaps next week we'll complete from what he said in this chapter, but that's what he said there. The question that we want to start with tonight is question number 65. And this is connected to the question that we had in the last class. That is the question, يعني, ماذا تضمن? What is included or implied by the name Al-A'la? What did we find in the name of Allah? Al-A'la, Al-Ali, Al-Muta'ali, Al-Zahir, Al-Qahir. And we said that what is implied by it, or what is included within it, or what is extracted or derived from it, is Sifatul Ulu. The Sifa, the characteristic of highness, of loftiness, of being exalted. And we said that this Sifatul Ulu, it is of two or three types. Ulu Dhatihi, his that being high, or Ulu Sha'nihi, his rank or his station or his status or his sifat, the highness of his sifat and his station, and Ulu Qahrihi, his dominance over everything. So today, in this question, what we are talking about, Ma Dalil Al-Fawqiyya Min Al-Kitab. And this is really what? What is the evidence of Fawqiyya, of Allah's being high from the book? This Fawqiyya, Allah being above, Fawq, above the Arsh, above the Khalq, above everything. This is in reference to Ulu Al-Dhat, the highness of Allah's divine being. Al-Fawqiyya. He said, Ulu Fawqiyyatihi. And here he's talking about the evidences from the Qur'an, and after that the evidences from the Sunnah of Allah being above the creation. And the Shaykh mentions seven, I think, ayats from the Qur'an and seven hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, and we'll go through them as best we can within the time that we have. And there are many comments that can be said about this. And the Shaykh has given it in brief to us. But we want to reflect upon some of it as we go through it, at least a little. And the first thing that we want to say is that the Shaykh says, the clear evidences upon this matter, this reality, this fact, evidences of Allah's fawqiyya, of Him being high, His divine being, being high above everything, they cannot be counted, they cannot be enumerated. They are innumerable. And from amongst the evidences of this are these names that were just mentioned in the last question, and names of similar meaning. That is, Al-Ali, Al-A'la. These are proofs of Allah being above. These names and names of similar meaning. Al-Zahir and Al-Qahir and Muta'ali. And then he mentions seven ayats from the Qur'an. And the first ayat, he also mentions actually six other ayats that are of the same meaning. He only mentions this one, but there are other ayats of the same meaning. And the meaning that came in this ayat here that the Shaykh mentions, actually there are seven ayats almost have the same meaning, or the same wording almost. Seven ayats in the Qur'an. But he mentions this one. And he says that it is in seven places in the Qur'an. This ayat, he says, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh, Istawa. Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. And before this, and this is in Surah Taha, 20th Surah, 5th Ayat. But before this, Allah says, if you read the ayahs before, that is very beneficial, but anyway, at least one ayah before it, Tanzeelan min man khalaqa al-Ard wa samawati al-Ula. Yani that this is a revelation, the Quran. He's talking about the Quran in the previous ayats. Is a revelation from the one who created the earth and the high heavens, as-samawat al-ula. And almost every one of these ayats talk about Allah's creating the heavens and the earth, and then he says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. So this ascending above the arsh is related to Allah as the creator. First explaining, showing, clarifying His greatness in creating the heavens and the earth. And then His ascending above the throne. So in this ayat it is also there, but in the previous ayat, that this is a revelation that came down from the one who created the earth and the high heavens. Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. Yani the most merciful. He rose over, high above the throne. And it also goes on to say that everything in the heavens and the earth and what is between them and what is underneath the earth, it all belongs to Allah. And then, and it goes on to say in later ayats, that Allah is the one, the only one that deserves to be worshipped. There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. Lahu al-asma al-husna. And to Him belong the most beautiful names. And the Shaykh says, and ayats of similar meaning to Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa came in the Quran in six other places, or in seven places. And from amongst them, he mentioned, if you have the book, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about these ayats checking them. But if you don't have the book, you can write quickly. 7th Surah, 45th Ayat. 10th Surah, 3rd Ayat. 13th Surah, 2nd Ayat. 20th Surah, 5th Ayat. 25th Surah, 59th Ayat. 32nd Surah, 4th Ayat. And 57th Surah, 4th Ayat. Anyway, if you missed it, inshallah, we send it to you, an email for homework. I get your homework, inshallah. Okay, so the Shaykh mentions this. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, sometime I'll make some comments from what he said concerning these ayats. He said, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. He said, ala al-Arsh. Al-Arsh is the highest. Arafa al-Makhluqat. The highest of everything that Allah has created. The highest thing in the whole creation is the Arsh. And it is the greatest thing that Allah has created. And it is the vastest of all of the creation. There is nothing higher than the Arsh. There is nothing greater than the Arsh. And there is nothing that is more spacious or wider or vast than Allah's Arsh. Al-Arsh, الَّذِي هُوَ أَرْفَعُ الْمَخْلُقَاتِ وَأَعْظَمُهَا وَأَوْسَعُهَا. And then he says that he ascended above this Arsh, which is the highest of all the creation, in a way that is befitting of his majesty, in a way that suits his greatness and his beauty. So he ascended above the Arsh and he encompassed everything in the dominion. Second ayah, the Shaykh mentions, from Surah Al-Mulk, 67th Surah, 16 and 17, ayah 16 and 17. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَيَخْصِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورِ. Do you feel secure from the one who is in or above the heavens, who is over the heavens, that he will not cause the earth to sink with you? Yani, to quake and sink, and you go down with it, then behold, it shakes. Yani, the earth. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. It will shake. And the second ayah follows, أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَظِيرُ. Or do you feel secure that he who is over the heavens, that is Allah, that he will not send against you a violent whirlwind, then you shall know how terrible is my warning. I need the warning, the threat of Allah. And the Shaykh says this is a tahdeed wa wa'id. It is a severe challenge and a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who violate his laws and rules, who continue in disobedience. And a threat of the punishment descending upon them. And I'll just mention here that the Shaykh says, and he mentions a number of comments that are of benefit, but the Shaykh said, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Do you feel secure from the one who is above the heavens? وَهُوَ, the Shaykh says this means, and that is Allah Ta'ala, Al-Ali ala khalqihi. Yani the one who is above the heavens, that is Allah, the Most High. Al-Ali ala khalqihi, the one who is high above his creation. So this ayah, these two ayahs, both of them, describe Allah as what? Man fi samai, the one who is above the heavens. And fi, the scholars say that the meaning of this expression, fi samai, it has one of two possible meanings. Fi, from the meanings of fi, it's a preposition in Arabic language, it has many meanings. If you look in the dictionary, you will see fi has many meanings, at least 10 or 15 different meanings. And from amongst the meanings of fi is ala, linguistically in the Arabic language, from amongst the meanings of fi, and it's used in the Quran in this way, in other places that are more clear, that the meaning of it is ala. Like the saying of Allah, فَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. فَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So travel in the earth, not in the side of the earth, but upon the earth. Fi here means ala. فَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ means فَسِيرُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Upon the earth. Go upon the earth. Go around the earth and see what's the end. Huh? Of those before you. Naam. And the other meaning is السَّمَاءِ. The meaning of السَّمَاءِ is الْعُلُوُ. Yani in Arabic language, the meaning of السَّمَاءِ means الْعُلُوُ. Something that's high. السَّمَاءِ means that which is high above you. So the meaning of this ayat, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ It means, do you feel secure from the one who is فِي السَّمَاءِ عَلَى السَّمَاءِ يعني above the سماء or فِي السَّمَاءِ means فِي العلو the one who is in highness, exalted, lofty, above everything. And the third ayah the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Nahl 16th Surah 50th ayat يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ They fear their Lord from above them. He is above them. مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ And this is in reference to the angels. And Allah mentions them in the previous ayat. It's in reference to the angels. And the, all of the creatures, but especially the angels. وَيَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ And the angels, they only do that which they are commanded. As far as the other creatures, the humans, they might obey Allah and they might not. But as far as the angels, they only obey Him. And in this ayah, in the previous ayah, Allah describes, says some words of description, of praise, especially of the angels. And then He says, as a description of praise of the angels, He said they have خوف, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ They fear their Lord from above them. This is an indication of what? That Allah is above the angels. The Shaykh, he says here, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ That when Allah, when He had previously praised the angels for their much obedience and for being humble to Him, then He praised them here with the characteristic of fearing Him. Fearing Allah, الَّذِي هُوَ فَوْقَهُمْ Allah, the one who is above them. He is فَوْقَهُمْ بِذَاتْ يعني His divine being is above them. وَالْقَهْرَ And His dominance is high above them. وَكَمَالِ الْأَوْصَافِ And the completion or the perfection of His qualities or descriptions or characteristics. And so here the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentions this ayah, that this ayah, مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ indicates Allah's ulu of His ذات, His divine being, and ulu of His قهر, His dominance, and ulu of His sha'n, يعني, or His awsaf, His sifat, His descriptions. And the Shaykh mentions some other important points, but for the sake of time. And the fourth ayat the Shaykh mentions, from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 10th ayat, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعُدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ That to Him ascend, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ يَسْعَدُ صَعَد It goes up to Him, ascends to Him the goodly words, الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ And the righteous deeds also go up to Him. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has given two interpretations of this ayat. One of them is that إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمِ الطَّيِّبِ That the good words go up to Him وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ And also the good deeds go up to Him. And the other interpretation he said that the good words go up to Him And the amal as-sali raise the good words, the good speech up to him. Yani that it is due to a person's good deeds that their good speech goes up to Allah. Yani that the speech alone is of no benefit if it's not followed by good deeds. These are two different interpretations that the Shaykh gave to this. Naam. In any case, the main point is what? إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمِ الطَّيِّبِ Yani, reading of Quran, praising Allah, glorifying Him, all kinds of good speech, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and so on. Al-dhikr wa dua. So these things are raised up to Allah, the good speech. And they are displayed before Allah. And as a result of that, Allah praises the one who has said these good words, who has offered this good speech. Allah praises them. In the assembly, the most high assembly, the assembly of the angels. And amal as-salih, the righteous deeds, includes the a'mal, the actions of the heart, as well as the actions of the limbs of the body. So when the person does this, when the person offers this good speech and these good deeds, and they are raised up to Allah, then Allah praises and praises that person for that, and raises their status. But the point here is what? إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ, that it goes up to him. And this is a proof of Allah's يعني فوقية. The fifth ayat, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Ma'arij, Ma'arij, I think it's 70th surah, naam, 70th surah. And the ayat that the Shaykh mentions is the fourth ayat. But we want to look at the ayat before because it's connected to it. All of it is connected, the first ayats from 1 through 7 or 8. But especially the ayat before it, it talks about a punishment that is about to befall the disbelievers, that no one will be able to hold back or repulse. And it is coming, min Allahi dhil ma'arij. Coming from Allah, the one who is what? The one who possess, who owns al-ma'arij, the ways of ascent, the ways of ascending. Allah is described in this ayat as what? Min Allahi dhil ma'arij. And the Shaykh didn't mention this, but we are saying that this is connected to the ayat that he mentioned, to the fourth ayat, that Allah is the one who is the Lord of the ways of ascent. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, dhil ma'arij means dhu al-ulu wal-jalal wal-azama. And he goes on. Yani the one, dhi al-ma'arij means the one who is possesses or who's characterized with al-ulu, highness, and al-jalal, majesty, and al-azama, greatness or magnificence. And he goes on to give further mention of that. Then the ayah that the Shaykh mentions, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ. So the angels and the ruh ascend to him. تَعْرُجُ, yani go up. The angels and the ruh go up to him. فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. In a day, which the measure of it is like 50,000 years. And there's also two interpretations that the scholars of tafsir have given to this ayat. And we don't have any opportunity to explain them, but the important thing is that this day, the measure of which is like 50,000 years of time in this world, that day, Allah will make it easy for the believers. Naam. But the important thing in this ayat is what? That, naam, there is an ascending of the angels, an ascending of the ruh. And some of the scholars said the ruh means Jibreel, and some of them said that it means, in general, the spirits of every human being, that when they die, they will ascend. And the good spirits will ascend up to Allah, and they will be given permission to ascend. And the evil spirits, they will be rejected and not allowed to ascend. But the ascending is what? Up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows his fawqiyah. And the sixth ayah that the Shaykh mentions is Surah Sajda, 32nd surah. And fifth ayat. And I think in some of the books this ayat is missing. Because in the Arabic copy that I have, it's not there. It wasn't there. But it is, yani, supposed to be there. And I think in the English translation it's there. Okay, Surah Sajda.
It's in
fifth ayat.
It's
Naam. But in some of the Arabic editions it's not there. In my copy it's not there. Okay, so the Shaykh, he says this ayat about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the ayats before it, especially from the beginning of Surah Sajda, you know it's talking about Allah, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. That he arranges, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranges, manages and regulates every affair from the heavens to the earth. Every affair from the heavens to the earth. Then it, that affair will go up to him in a day the space whereof is 1,000 years, yani according to the time that we count today. But the point that the Shaykh is mentioning here, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, that Allah is the one who regulates, who manages, who arranges, who controls the affairs of everything in the creation, from the heavens down to the earth. And then it will return to him, yani everything. The command comes down from Allah and it returns to Allah. From Allah, the one who created the earth and the heavens. The one who has ascended above his great arsh. He is the one who arranges and controls and regulates al-amr al-qadari wal-amr al-shar'i. That which he decrees in his divine decree Yani al-irada al-qawniyah, the things that Allah has decided to happen, that must happen. There's no escape from it. And there are the things that Allah legislates to happen, which He loves, but it may or may not happen. All of this is from the command of Allah, and He is the one who alone controls every affair. It descends from Him, and it also returns to Him. And this matter is the matter of who Allah will make fortunate and unfortunate, and who Allah will make rich and poor, and who Allah will honor and humiliate, and who Allah, and so on, who Allah will raise up some people and put down other people, and His sending down of the provisions for all of the creatures. Now, and the last ayat that the Shaykh mentions is in Surah to Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 55th ayat. 3rd Surah, 55th ayat. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. Yani remember when Allah said, O Isa, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, that I will take you up. Take you, I will take you, meaning take your soul. In the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the soul of the person when they go to sleep. Allah takes their soul and then He returns it. And likewise, Isa alayhi salam, Allah has taken his soul and raised him up to Himself, and He will return him back to this world as a human being, and then he will die after that. But he is not dead. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, I will take your soul, وَرَافِعُكَ, and I am the one who will raise you up, إِلَيَّ, to Myself, to the end of the ayat. Naam, and this is also a clear proof of what? That Allah is fawqiyah, that Allah is above. That He will take his soul and He will raise him, Isa, up to himself, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ دَلِيلْ عَلَى عُلُوِ اللَّهِ, that in this ayah is a clear proof of the highness of Allah ta'ala. وَاسْتِوَاعِهِ, and also is a proof of His what? Ascending, عَلَى عَرْشِهِ حَقِيقَةً, that He ascended above His throne in reality. And this is something that has been indicated in al-Nusus al-Qur'aniyya wal-Ahadith al-Nabawiyya, in many textual texts from the Qur'an and Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been accepted by the Ahl sunnah bil-Qubul wal-Iman wal-Taslim. And these are textual proofs, some of which we have mentioned from the Qur'an and many others, and textual proof that the Shaykh will mention from the sunnah that have been accepted by the people of sunnah with full acceptance, and believing in them, and submission. And then the Shaykh says, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرٌ, and there are many more evidences, many evidences of Allah's ulu, or Allah's fawqiyah. And then the Shaykh mentions 7 hadith. The first of these hadith, and it is a hadith that is disputed. This hadith is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah. And from amongst the scholars who said this hadith is Hasan is Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. He said this hadith is Hasan. And Al-Hakim also said this hadith is Hasan. And Ibn al-Qayyim said this hadith is Hasan. And even though Ahmed Shakir in his checking of the Musnad of Imam Ahmad said the hadith was da'if, but in his checking of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, he said the hadith was Hasan. So there are many scholars of the past and present who consider this hadith to be Hasan. And then from amongst those scholars, there are many other scholars from the past and from the present who said this hadith is weak. And from amongst them is Ibn Adi and Ibn Al-Arabi, not Ibn Arabi the Sufi, Ibn Al-Arabi, the Maliki scholar, who was also a scholar of hadith, and from the contemporary scholars, Al-Albani. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. So, we see that from the scholars of the past and present, there's difference concerning this hadith. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, appears to consider this hadith to be at least Hasan, because he gave a long commentary in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And I brought that book with me today to read some of his comments concerning this hadith about the meaning of it. But Anyway, you can look Kitab al-Tawheed, explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. You can find some comments concerning this hadith and hadith of similar meaning in the end of Kitab al-Tawheed, under the chapter مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, that they did not give Allah His due estimation with that which was due to Him. And he brings a couple of hadith there, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he brings some hadith there, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen discussed them and their meanings. And this hadith, yani the essence of it, it mentions the distance between one heaven and the next one, the seven heavens, and that above, and in some of the narrations it mentions above the seven heavens is the kursi, and some of them don't mention the kursi, and above the kursi is a body of water, a bahr. And above that body of water is the arsh, and above the arsh is Allah. And this is the part of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions, the end of the hadith. Wal arsh fawqa dhalika, yani the arsh is above that, meaning above the seven heavens and above the kursi and above the body of water that is above the kursi. Above all of that is the arsh. Wal arsh fawqa dhalika. Wallah fawqa al arsh, and Allah is above the arsh. Huwa ya'lamu ma antum alayhi. And He knows, even though He is above the arsh, He still knows everything that you are doing. And this proves, and this is one of the proofs is from this hadith, is not only that Allah is high above the arsh, but also it means in reality that Allah bidhatihi, yani His divine being, is above the arsh. Otherwise there's no need for Him to mention that even though He is high above the arsh, He knows everything that you're doing down on earth. Allah is high above the arsh and He still knows everything that the creatures are doing down on earth. So the Shaykh, he mentions this hadith. And like I said, there's difference of opinion about it. Some scholars said that it's hasan and some scholars said that it is weak. But in any case, from the ayats that we already mentioned and from the hadith that follow, inshallah, there's enough sufficient proof of Allah's fawqiyah and of Allah's ulu, that Allah is above everything and that He is high and lofty. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the hadith of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was present for the battle of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and so many others, and he died after the battle of Khandaq from a wound that he received, and he was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is the story of Bani Qurayza, yani the Jewish tribe who allied with the pagans of Mecca and the rest of the pagans of the Arabian Peninsula and fought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet ﷺ had a chance, he came to them, and they were in their fortress, held up in their fortress, refused to come out and refused to fight. And after he, you know, surrounded them for 25 days or something, then they finally surrendered upon agreement that whatever decision was made by Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, they would take his decision, whatever he decided. So he made the ruling, when they surrendered, that those who fought in the battle against them should be killed, and that their women and children would be taken captive, and their wealth also would be taken. And the Prophet ﷺ, it is reported in some narrations of this hadith, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمْ الْمَلِكِ مِنْ فَوْقَ سَبْعَةِ أَرَقَعَةِ, that you, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that you have made a ruling concerning these people, and that ruling is the ruling of Al-Malik, the king, who is above seven heavens. This hadith is in Bukhari. There are many narrations of this hadith that are in Bukhari and other places. However, in Bukhari, the end of the hadith, which is really the important part of the hadith that we want to use today, tonight, that is that this ruling is from the king who is above the seven heavens. Though that wording, above the seven heavens, didn't come in the narration in Bukhari. But Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani mentions it, that there are some other narrations. In his sharh of the hadith, he mentions that wording. But again, as we said, there are other hadith which do mention Allah being above the seven heavens. Specifically, the hadith of Zainab, one of the wives of the Prophet, radiallahu anha, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to say to the other wives of the Prophet that it is your families who have married you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the one who is above the seven heavens who has married me to him. And there are many evidences, as we said. But in any case, this narration in Bukhari doesn't contain the word above the seven heavens. Okay, third hadith, the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Jariyah, the young slave girl, when the Prophet ﷺ, who she had been smacked in the face, and the person who had done so, the Prophet ﷺ told him to bring her to me, to see what should be done with her, due to what had happened to her, which was wrong. She should never have been slapped in the face, and we shouldn't hit anyone in the face. When she was brought, the Prophet wanted to examine her, and he asked her, "Ain Allah, where is Allah?" And she said, "Fis sama'i." She said, "He is above the heavens." And based on this answer to this question, the Prophet ﷺ confirmed her aqidah, that it was correct, and he said, "A'tiqha, fa'innaha mu'mina." Free her, because she is a believer. So this aqidah that she expressed here is the aqidah of Islam. This is our aqidah, that Allah is above the heavens. And this is a proof of Allah's fawqiyah and His ulu. And also the Shaykh mentions the ahadith. He doesn't mention the hadith, but he mentions ahadith mi'raj. Yani that all of the hadith concerning the mi'raj, the Prophet's ascension, yani the night journey, the Isra wal mi'raj, his night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem and his ascending to the heavens. All of those hadith, and a lot of those hadith in Bukhari and other authentic narrations, prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended on that night to the seven heavens, and on that occasion the five obligatory prayers were legislated for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fifth proof that the Shaykh mentions is the hadith of Ta'aqub, yani the succession of the malaika, yani the angels who come in turns, some of them coming to relieve the others. And that hadith he mentions, ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ الَّذِينَ بَاتُوا فِيكُمْ, yani then those will go up who have spent the night with you. فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ, and then Allah will ask them, while he, yani, is the one who is the best knower, who knows everything, he knows more than them, but he will ask them, and he will say, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتُمْ عِبَادِي, he will say to those angels who will rise up to him after spending the night, at Fajr time they will go up and the other angels will descend, a different group. He will say, how did you leave my servants? And they will say, تَرَكْنَاهُمْ وَهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ, we left them while they were praying, yani the Fajr prayer. وَأَتَيْنَاهُمْ وَهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ, and we came to them while they were praying. And this is a good description of the people that Allah is pleased with, that they are engaged in prayer. And these angels will bring back a report that we found them, we came to them, they were praying, and we left them while they were praying. And this hadith is also a clear proof what? يَعْرُجُ الَّذِينَ تَابُوا فِيكُمْ, yani they will go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give their report. And the sixth proof that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ concerning charity. And this hadith is an encouragement, a tremendous encouragement of giving charity. This hadith is a tremendous encouragement and a motivation for whoever has some difficulty or some resistance to giving from their wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِعَدْلِ تَمْرَةٍ مِنْ كَسْبٍ طَيِّبٍ وَلَا يَصْعَدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبٍ. And whoever gives charity, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah, that which is equal to a date, yani a tamr, one tamr, whoever gave that in charity. When I went to a masjid for Maghrib tonight, a brother gave me a date. I said, SubhanAllah, I don't know if he knows how fortunate he was. He gave charity of a date. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِعَدْلِ تَمْرَةٍ, whoever gave sincerely for the sake of Allah, as sadaqah, just one date, min qasbin, tayyibin, from his honest earnings that he earned lawfully. وَلَا يَصْعَدْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبِ, and nothing goes up to Allah except the tayyib, except the tayyib. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتَقَبَّلُهَا بِيَمِينِهِ, Allah will accept it with his right hand. ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لِصَاحِبِهِ, and then he will nourish it, and he cause it to grow. For the person who gave it, he will cause that little bit of charity to grow. كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّهُ, in the same way that one of you takes care and causes a small pony, a horse that's just born, the same way you take care of it until it grows. Allah will take care of that charity and cause it to grow حَتَّ تَكُونَ مِثْلِ الْجَبَلِ until it will be like a mountain. And if the person who gave a date, Allah will take it in his right hand and he will nurture it and cause it to grow until it will become as reward for that person in Yawmul Qiyamah like a mountain. So imagine if a person gave $10. Imagine if a person, when we left here tonight, and there's a bucket there, and you put $10 in there. Imagine if you put $20 in there. Imagine for sake, from your honest earnings that you earned honestly. Even if you put $1 in there, that's more than a date. And if Allah would nourish that date, if it was given sincerely for His sake alone from your pure earnings, if He would nourish one date to be like a mountain, imagine what He'll do with a dollar. If a person gives $1 in sincere charity for the sake of Allah, imagine if they give 10 or 20 or 50. Let's see, do we believe this or not? Every day. As one brother told me in this masjid, he told me that Sheikh Golshir, may Allah have mercy upon him, said that whenever you go to a masjid to pray, put something in the sadaqah, even if it's $1. Whenever you go to a masjid, put something in there. That's what he said the Sheikh told him. May Allah have mercy upon him. For many of us, he was our first Arabic teacher. Long time ago. 30 years ago. And finally, the Shaykh mentions the last evidence that he mentions. The hadith concerning the revelation. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهِ الْأَمْرَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That if Allah decides or decrees a matter in the heavens, yani above the heavens, فِي السَّمَاءِ. And again, this hadith the Shaykh mentions what? That the decrees are made في السماء, above the heavens. إذا قضى الله أمره في السماء ضربت الملائكة بأجنيتها بأجنيحتها خضعانا لقوله كأنه سلسلة على صفوان. That when Allah decrees a matter above the heavens, then the angels strike their wings in submission or in humility to His speech, yani to the speech of Allah. Because when Allah decrees a matter, إِنَّمَا يَكُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He decrees a matter, He says to it, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So when Allah decrees a matter, His speech caused the angels in submission and humility to His speech, caused them to strike their wings. And the sound of Allah's speech, the effect that it has is, in this hadith, the effect is as the effect of a chain being dragged over rocks. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that the comparison here is not between the comparison of the speech of Allah and the sound of the chain. Rather, it is comparison between the effect of hearing the speech of Allah and the effect, the loud noise that came from a chain being dragged on stone. But the point of the hadith that's important is what? That the qada, the decrees, are made from above the heavens. And this is the last evidence that the Shaykh mentions. And so we will stop here. Huh? The hadith is in Bukhari. Naam. The hadith is in Bukhari. Naam. And the Shaykh, he closes after mentioning this hadith. He says, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. And there are other proofs other than this, other than these ayats and these hadith. وَقَدْ أَقَرَّ بِذَلِكَ جَمِيعَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ إِلَّا الْجَهْمِيَّةِ. And everyone in the creation has agreed, has submitted and surrendered and acknowledged this reality of Allah's fawqiyah and Allah's ulu, except the Jahmiyyah, the followers of Jahm ibn Safwan, who was known for what? For negating and rejecting the sifat of Allah. Otherwise, everyone else in the creation accepts Allah being high. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that Allah's being high is accepted by all of the Muslims, everybody who ascribes to Islam, in one meaning of highness, that is, ulu sha'nihi, or sifatihi. But as far as ulu dhatihi, then some of the people, the ignorant people, Some of them have rejected this. And perhaps we'll talk about this in a future session. But I just want to mention here that certainly all of us must have heard somewhere some people saying, and perhaps we used to believe it even, Naam, that Allah is everywhere. You must have heard this before. If you were not a victim of these enemies of Islam, these criminals and ignorant people who wrote in their books, and those books are still being circulated. One of those books that's very famous, there's a group here in Brooklyn who gives out free books, and most of it is rubbish. And one of their books, is, I think it's called The Teachings of Islam, I think maybe it's the first question in the beginning of the book, where's Allah? What is the answer? Allah is everywhere. Allahu musta'an. So many people believe that Allah is everywhere. And we do not believe that Allah is everywhere. And some people believe that Allah is in everything. And we do not believe that Allah is in everything. But Allah is above His throne. Allah is high above the creation. Ba'in min. Distinct, completely separate and distinct. So be careful when you read and who you listen to. And if you hear people saying things like this, know for sure that these people are lost. Allah is not everywhere. Allah is not in everything. Allah is not in the creation. Allah is mustawin ala arshihi. He is above His arsh. Alin ala khalqihi. High above His creatures. Ban min khalqihi. Separate and distinct from them. Walaykum salam. By His that and by His sifat and by His qahr. Okay, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what we talked about tonight. Any question about what we talked about tonight? Tayyib. In closing, I want to just make one reminder to us. Saturday night, Sunday morning, the time for the salat. Watch the times for the salat. You know they will be turning the clock around, twisting the time, making it 1 hour difference. Be careful from that. Okay, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So look at the times for the salat, okay? When they change the clocks, then instead of us praying at 12 o'clock, we'll be praying at 1 o'clock, right? Like this. So pay attention to this. And also next week, the class, we'll be praying, we'll be having the class at the same time, but because of the clock change, it will be after Maghrib instead of after Isha. And it will be the same time in the evening, but the hour on the clock is going to be a different hour, right? Because they're going to twist the clock. So the time that we'll be having the class is after we pray Maghrib. After we pray Maghrib, and you come to the masjid for Maghrib, after we pray Maghrib, we're going to have a class. Inshallah. Okay? And also, I encourage brothers and sisters to please try to memorize the names of Allah. Try to memorize those names with their meanings. And try to learn how to apply them. And one of the best books that explains the meanings of Allah's names is The Beautiful Names of Allah by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. If you have a copy of this book, please read it carefully again and again and again. And if you can memorize some of those names, the way they are in the book, or in the back of the book, they're in alphabetical order, either way, try to memorize some of them, and try to learn their meanings, and try to apply them in your life. Jazakum Allah khair.